This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hello, welcome to this podcast. My name is Anne. I've been a volunteer here at Joy for 17 years. Please continue to support Joy. This is our 25th year and we need community support by way of donations and memberships. Support Joy now during Radiothon 2018. Head to our website, click donate now, joy.org.au.
Broadway icon John Cameron Mitchell channels the essence of his glam rock icon, Hedwig and the Angry Inch, for one night only at Arts Centre Melbourne this July. So put on some makeup, turn up the A-track and pull the wig down from the shelf. John Cameron Mitchell, July 10 at Arts Centre Melbourne. Book now. Joy sponsor.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
And you are listening to Saturday Magazine with Fiona Paul and myself, Tass. So, Fiona, would you like to introduce our next guest?
So, yeah, as I was saying earlier, Richard Watts is a well-known arts and cultural writer in Melbourne. He knows everyone there is to know in the independent performing arts, and his show on 3RRR Smart Arts is one of the best. Also, as in his role as the editor or one of the editors at Arts Hub, which is a national arts public online publication. Richard, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Lovely to be with you.
Thank you so much for letting us ring you this morning to talk about this issue, which has really hit a lot of notes for the arts community in Melbourne, which we always know and celebrate for its vibrancy, and for it to come under attack by this alt-right group. I mean, can you tell us a little bit more and explain to the listeners what exactly has happened?
Well, last Sunday, a coalition of far-right groups, including several self-professed neo-Nazis and self-described fascists, and I don't use those words lightly, but in this day and age, I think it's important to call out people for what they are. So last Sunday, this group had... for several months been promoting an event which they described as the most important nationalist event on the calendar. After months of promotion, they managed to get about 50 to 70 people turning up to it, marched through the city. They were opposed by a group, a very loose coalition of left-wing activists, anti-racism protesters, and more. So the far right were outnumbered effectively 3-1, and they took, afterwards, they went to a bar in Federation Square to effectively lick their wounds. They were humiliated, and I think what happened in this particular instance, they saw a man who, to them, represented a kind of a non-traditional view of masculinity. They were angry, they were looking for someone to punish, and so they lashed out by harassing and abusing Dandy Man.
So can we be clear about this? So the far right-wing group, that was led by Brian Cottrell, is that correct?
Blair Cottrell. Is certainly one of the leaders of the far right in Victoria. He has previously tried to establish a political party, Fortitude, which was an abject failure. And he has also previously admitted to he served jail time for arson. He's tried to burn down his ex-girlfriend's house. He's threatened his and stalked his ex-girlfriend and threatened her new partner. This is on the public record. These are a legal precedents. I don't feel that I'm defaming his character by saying that he has admitted, and indeed on a video posted by his own allies on Sunday, a video in which he says, "I'm a fascist. What are you going to do about it?" Blair Cottrell and his allies from the True Blue crew and other groups are not people to be taken lightly. I wrote an article about the incident. I spoke to Dandy Man, the street performer, who was harassed and intimidated by this group. And I will admit, I was nervous to put my name to that article initially, because I know that Blair Cottrell has rung other journalists and tried to threaten and intimidate them for what he sees as kind of media bias. And we've just seen a shooting in the US where journalists have been targeted. And that comes as a result of the kind of toxic debate around so-called fake news, and with people like Milo Yiannopoulos and indeed the President of the United States calling out journalists as enemies of the state, which to me, again, smacks of fascism.
Wow, Richard, so many issues there. I'm not even sure where to begin.
I know, Richard, when you unpack it, and we start with Dandy Man, you know, performing and, you know, doing his show that was obviously being enjoyed by so many, and then you unravel this incredible web of vile behaviour and, you know, that constant question of freedom of speech and where does it stop and freedom to hate. I mean, it's a horrible situation, and I think that for so many of us in Melbourne, we would be so insulted by that kind of behaviour when performance and performers who have the right to perform, as we know, Dandy Man was, you know, he has all of the right documentation from the City of Melbourne
to be able
to perform.
Well, he was registered. He had approval to be able to put on his show.
And as you say in your article, which, by the way, listeners, is posted on our Facebook page, and I will also post on our Twitter, you know, he has every right to perform there. So I think that the idea that this minority of people could try to destroy and suggest that the fabric of our culture here in Melbourne should be other than what it is it's where does it end, really, or where does it begin?
It's a frightening precedent. I certainly think that having a group of neo-Nazis and kind of hard right people, as I said, self-proclaimed fascists, trying to stop a street performer because he does not fit within their worldview is a very frightening step. I mean, from there, you don't have to think too far before what happens. Do they start invading? And I should point out that kind of these kind of people have in the past invaded the premises of community radio station 3CR in Fitzroy to try and shut down debate that they disagree with as well. So before we know it, are they going to be invading the offices of Joy or Triple R? Are they going to be storming into Arts Centre Melbourne to try and shut down productions that they believe are immoral in some way because they don't mesh with their worldview? What particularly frightens me in the instance of Dandy Man is I believe that the security at Federation Square were extremely lax in the situation. I've spoken to other street performers who have performed at Fed Square without an appropriate busker's license, and within minutes, security have arrived and shut their performance down.
Right.
The video that was posted online at the start of this week runs for over 6 minutes, and in that time, there is no evidence whatsoever of Fed Square's security turning up to protect Dandy Man or to protect the mothers and children who are watching the performance. Now, Blair Cottrell and his allies say on that video, which has since been taken offline, they say that Dandy Man is, quote, a pedophile, unquote, because of the way he's dressed, and accusing him of inappropriate public behaviour. Now, that kind of choice is not Blair's to make. If I am a parent and I take my child to see a performance, I'm the one who gets to decide what is appropriate or not for my child to see. In the video, you could actually see parents grabbing their children and pulling them out of harm's way when 14 large, muscular, aggressive men converge and verbally intimidate and abuse one relatively diminutive circus and street performer. It's a frightening thing to have witnessed. I'm glad I wasn't there personally, although I hope if I was, I would have tried to intervene. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to congratulate a couple of the people who do try and step up in that video. There's a woman who steps up and tries to defend Dandy Man. There's a young heterosexual couple who do the same. It's a frightening thing to watch. And as I say, I think Fed Square were certainly lax in calling out security. And I have to say, I have emailed the Lord Mayor of Melbourne about this situation and Federation Square, and Federation Square's response was, to use a technical term, piss week.
Great technical term. We all know what that one means. Yeah. Thank you.
Richard, you said you've spoken to Dandyman. What is his reaction to what happened to him? Because obviously he's a seasoned street performer. He's probably used to having hecklers or people interrupting him. But what was his view on what actually happened that day?
He was frightened. He was genuinely frightened, and I think he has every concern to be. I specifically did not use his real name in my article because I believe that the more attention he gets, the more risk he is, of follow-up assaults from some of these individuals that were involved on Sunday. But he was genuinely shaken. When I spoke to him, he was almost in tears. He was seriously frightened and intimidated. And this is a street performer who has performed to tough crowds in over 30 countries around the world. So to have this happen in Melbourne, in the city that we like to claim is the cultural capital of the country, is not just frightening for him. I think it's frightening for everybody.
It's frightening for all of us, actually.
Mm. Exactly. Yeah. It absolutely is.
Richard, one of our listeners has just sent us a message. This is one of our regular and our favourite, one of our favourite listeners. 317, we call them because we actually don't know their name. But 317 makes a comment that suggests that potentially some of this freedom of speech agenda that's been, you know, promulgated by some of our federal parliamentarians in particular might actually be responsible for allowing some of these groups to flourish. Do you have a view on that comment?
I think your listener's response is absolutely fair. What we saw last year in the so-called civilized debate around the marriage equality postal survey opened the floodgates to hate speech that targeted our community with abuse. And for myself, as a 50-year-old gay man, during that process, I started having nightmares and flashbacks to being bullied and bashed in high school. I'm a kind of now get middle-aged and with a great strong support network of friends and colleagues, and I work in the arts. There's probably nowhere safer to be gay. And I was thinking, well, if this is affecting me in this way, what damage is that conversation doing to 12, 13, 14-year-olds now? And what we have seen as a response of the rhetoric and the hate that was unleashed by Malcolm Turnbull's decision to go for a postal survey rather than just passing legislation through Parliament, as could easily have been done, encouraged hate speech. And as we've seen in the United States this week, hate speech has direct consequences. If you regularly tell people that, whether it's journalists are evil and should be punished, or whether the queer community is full of perverts, not everybody will respond to that message. But there are people who will hear that message, it will resonate for them, and as happened in Sydney in the 1970s, 80s, 90s, people went out and went poofta bashing and killed people because they thought they had society's blessing to do that because of the messages promulgated by certain leaders in politics and other areas of society.
Well, Richard, you'd have no disagreement for me on any of that, actually. And the only thing that I would add to that is that the debate around the amendments to the Racial Discrimination Act, which was called Section 3816, was that right?
Don't know.
I forget the actual number of the particular amendment that was proposed, also had a very similar view. So the amendment was proposed to actually remove protections from any public commentary that causes harm based on people's identity, gender, race, etc. And so we had a federal government who allowed a debate about this very issue, which again is designed to allow people to freely express hatred for other populations.
Indeed, we had Senator George Brandis at the time saying people have a right to be bigots.
That's right.
Now, if I'm a neo-Nazi and I hear the government saying things like that, that is empowering me. So I genuinely fear that the tone of conversation and political discourse over the last couple of years is empowering racists and bigots, with the consequences of what we saw on Sunday. I believe that Dandyman is actually quite lucky that he was not physically assaulted as well as verbally assaulted. I also think that he...
I think he actually probably needs a bit of emotional support after that. I mean, being intimidated by a dozen big, burly, ugly blokes like that. It's
terrifying anybody.
It's actually horrible.
Mm. I mean, he did go back and continue his performance, I believe, on the Sunday. So he worked hard to reclaim the space.
He left on the Sunday, but he returned to Fed Square on Tuesday, and I attended that performance so that he could literally reclaim the space for himself and for kind of any other communities feeling threatened. And in terms of reaching out to him, I know that having communicated with Sally Capp, the new Lord Mayor of Melbourne, she has called Dandyman personally to try to A, reassure him that kind of the City of Melbourne as a city and as a branch of government is supporting him, and I'm told that other senior members of the Victorian government have also reached out to Dandyman as well, which is why I was very, very happy to get kind of a detailed email from the Lord Mayor kind of outlining their concerns about preventing antisocial behaviour. And it's why, as I say, I was kind of quite shocked at the response that I had from a similar email I sent to the management at Federation Square, where part of their email said, "We understand that not all art and entertainment is for everyone's taste," which to me seems to be an acknowledgement that perhaps that kind of they're saying
that's
well,
a bit
understand.
Soft. That's a bit
it's
soft,
very,
Richard.
Very soft.
I'm sorry.
Considering it's happening on their premises.
I suspect that Fed Square received a number of emails from Blair Cottrell supporters. And so the email I received in response from Fed Square was as much placating them as it was trying to placate people such as myself who were expressing concern about the situation. I don't think neo-Nazis and the far right should be placated. I think they should be resisted and confronted where possible and told in no uncertain terms that their language and their behaviour and their violence in a public space has no place in a city like Melbourne.
And I do believe, Richard, when Dandyman managed to get hold of some proper police as opposed to just security guards, they were very supportive. And I think there was a very strong semblance of uniformed police officers to support him. When
Look, you're absolutely right, Paul. But, I mean, the footage that I saw showed that, you know, there were a couple of people who tried to come out to support Dandyman, but he had to literally cross.
Mm. Yeah.
He had to cross St Kilda Road, go to Flinders Street Police Station, talk to police himself, and then come back with a bunch of police. Now, that's actually not very acceptable.
And Fed Square's got some answering to do. They should have had security guards on site there in minutes to try and defuse the situation.
Well, I don't know if anybody's ever tried to put on an event at Fed Square. You have to pay for security up front.
Mm, mm. Exactly. Shocking. What were they doing?
Mm. Yeah, there are security cameras all over Fed Square. And not only are there security cameras there, but they would have been alerted. The entire police force in Melbourne and the whole city was on high alert that a group of neo-Nazis were having kind of their so-called flag march and that there were protesters out to kind of demonstrate that they were not welcome in Melbourne. So if the police and is already on high alert, why was this situation allowed to happen, and why was Dandyman effectively encouraged by the police to pack up and go, which you can see in the
Is
video.
Is that right? Mm.
Yeah, having watched the video several times, the police, to their credit, tried to de-escalate the situation. That is their training. That's what they've been told to do. They could, however, have ordered the group of neo-Nazis to move on. That is within their power, particularly on a day of high security when the entire city has been kind of labelled kind of a high-risk area. It's my understanding that everybody attending both the neo-Nazi rally and the counter-rally were searched by police for weapons, and police, under those circumstances, have additional powers. So rather than just trying to placate neo-Nazis and defuse the situation, the police could have ordered them to move on and allowed Dandyman to continue his performance on Sunday. They did not, and I believe the police minister needs to be questioned about that situation as well, because that is effectively saying to a performer, no, you're the one who's in the wrong here, you should pack up and go, let these kind of boof-headed, violent, aggressive, homophobic neo-Nazis, let's just kind of let them get on with what they're doing and think they're doing the right thing. Mm. That sends the wrong signal as well.
Mm. So, Richard, we've had strong statements of support from the state government and the Lord Mayor of Melbourne. Do you think that the police need to make a statement on this matter?
I would, rather than making a statement on the matter, which kind of could be a relatively empty motherhood statement, I would prefer to see the police make a serious and strong commitment to opposing neo-Nazi activity in not only this state and this city, but federally. I really fear... I look at what happens in Europe, what happens in the USA. In the USA, we've had neo-Nazis marching openly in the streets and killing people. That cannot be allowed to happen here. The police need to step up. The police minister and all concerned, both the federal police and the Victoria police, need to really tread carefully at this point and to ensure that neo-Nazi activity does not take deeper root and spread further.
So, Richard, you may use this platform to actually call on the police to make that very statement.
Absolutely.
Well, I'd be very happy to do that because we're seeing hate speech spread. We're seeing posters. There's a neo-Nazi group called Antipodean Resistance who are blatantly and openly neo-Nazi. During the marriage equality campaign last year, they were plastering up hateful, homophobic, vile posters and stickers across Melbourne, and that is continuing.
Yes, so there's a plethora of those going on at the moment, actually, isn't there?
There was something just recently posted up, I believe, on Chapel Street.
Up and down Chapel Street, yep.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, my view about all of that is that, that this leadership or lack of leadership that we've had on this issue and this supposed freedom of speech and, you know, freedom of religion, freedom from religion, has in fact opened the door to allow these sort of polarised debates to take place.
Yeah.
And people think it's okay because, you know, freedom of speech means that you can actually be free to say whatever you want to say, irrespective of the impact that it has on people. That's why I think that we need to continue to be vigilant in protecting 18C of that Racial Discrimination Act.
I absolutely agree, and I think it goes beyond that, that freedom of speech has limits, and those limits are when you are in direct conflict with anti-discrimination laws. Hate speech needs to be kind of shut down. It cannot be tolerated because we know that there are direct ramifications of that. People are assaulted, injured, verbally, and sometimes in many cases, physically abused. So I certainly am an advocate for free speech, but I am also very much aware that free speech has legal limits. And when people cross the boundaries of what is legally permissible, there need to be ramifications for that.
That's a great point to finish on, Richard. Thank you very much for your time. You've certainly hit the...
hit the mark.
Hit the mark, and a number of our listeners have actually come in and sent us messages saying, well done, Richard, and are very supportive of the things that you're saying. We really appreciate your time this morning. We need to move on, unfortunately. We could actually talk about this all day, but and it has been a recurring theme and a recurring subject on this very show. Richard, thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thank you very much.
And you are listening to Saturday Magazine with Fiona, Paul and myself, Tass. That was a great conversation with Richard Watts, who's the arts writer from the Arts Hub and also a broadcaster with 3RRR's Smart Arts program.
So I was wondering if we should possibly get the Victorian Police spokesperson in to chat about their response to the issues. I mean, you know, the Victorian Police...
I think we should also get Fed Square in.
Do you think they'd come in?
Absolutely.
Do you think you could pull some strings and get someone from Fed Square in?
I will do my very best. Jonathan Tribe's the CEO. Jonathan Tribe has been there for about a year or so. And the chair of the board is a wonderful person. And I think we'll reach out to
so
them.
So maybe do you think that as the CEO, he should actually issue an apology to Dandyman for the, you know, the lack of security response or perhaps the... I mean, it sounds to me like there was a cut and paste, you know, that email that Richard received from Fed Square. It was a cut and paste probably.
It's appalling. It's appalling. I mean, the fact that you actually end up with the Lord Mayor personally calling Dandyman and a government minister personally calling Dandyman to apologise for what's occurred and Fed Square sends out a form email is not acceptable. So I think we'll put out a call to Jonathan Tribe or we'll call potentially the chair of the board, Deborah Beale.
Okay,
and see
let's
what
call
Deb's
him
got
in.
To say. We'll do that.
Because it's very important to the Joy listenership. and to all Melburnians.
Oh, and to creative arts in this country.
Absolutely.
But I am encouraged by the fact that Sally Capp did manage to do something very positive, and that shows great leadership from her. It's a small thing to do.
Hasn't she hit the ground running?
Oh, totally. Totally.
Isn't it interesting? I mean, I feel very privileged to have her in the studio and having a conversation with us.
Yes, we have confirmed Sally will be a regular the first Saturday of every month.
There you go.
That's going to be great.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Mm. Hi, this is John Borghetti, the CEO of Virgin Australia. Just like Joy 94.9, we are flying high and proud.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.